It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Len, let's talk about the latest from our heritage minister, who's decided that he is going to tell us and the rest of the country what we can and can't say online. What did Mr. Miller say the other day?
Oliver?
You mean Toronto Raptors great Oliver Miller?
No, we're talking about Mark Miller at Internet Controls, baby. Looks like this is coming to Canada. And welcome back, Bill C-63. The online's Harmac with a little bit extra tied to it. Originally, this bill died on the vine because it didn't quite pass because Parliament was prorogued, Trudeau stepped down, and all bills that were left hanging just couldn't proceed. But the idea still remains and lives on, and it's going to be introduced. But what does it do now as opposed to what they were trying to get it to do before? Originally, the bill dealt with seven particular categories of harm, you know, the child safety, stuff like that, right? But this one adds a little bit more flavor to it, maybe more than just flavor, maybe an extra side dish. And there's going to be the age verification ban on anybody under the age of 16 from social media. So anonymous browsing potentially may be gone as a result of all this. And for those saying, good, you know, social media, it's shaping the minds of young people, warping it in a way that it's going to be, you can't fix it. And this is something that needs to be offered up to kids. Well, what if we get a state-sponsored alternative, a social media by the state? Like, think about a CBC for kids. How do we get something like that? You swipe up and you're forced to watch about maybe some graves that were there, or maybe the next video about eating meat that's bad for the environment, or maybe how we should be sending money to Sudan to pave the roads over there with the very same oil that we can't and force not to use over here. This is what they could be shoving down kids' throats. They could be trying to shape people's minds when they're young. And you know what? In the end, this is something that we should try to avoid if at all possible, but may not be possible in the grand scheme of things if you want to remain here. And it gets better, right? You think that this is good. It's Bill 63. You have the shaping of the kids' minds with social media bans and forcing them whatever government-approved packets they want to give us. Well, there's the beauty of all this. Yeah, the cherry on the top, they could lock you in your home for reasonable grounds of fear. And it's just punishment before something could happen. It's like a minority report ready to take place. Do you have to think a certain way before subjected to house arrest, dress a certain way, walk a certain way, talk a certain way? I don't know, man. Who the hell knows what it's going to be? But it leads, it's so much interpretation here that we don't know exactly how it's going to be done. If you want them to deal with this, they have proven time and time again that they have used bad judgment. And I'm looking at the Emergencies Act, for instance. And this is not an opinion. This is fact. The courts have ruled that it was a heavy-handed approach to something that didn't require that. But yet, they did it. A lot of people were negatively impacted. And you know what? The heavy-handed approach seems to be the direction that they want to take all the time. Screw who's going to be impacted from that. You'll probably even get a giddy person on stage laughing uncontrollably behind the scenes because, you know what? We did something that's going to harm people. This is not what you want, man. Like, we used to laugh at other countries, like the China with the Great Firewall, North Korea, where information can't come in and out. Now you're going to want this? Like, I don't want a government-approved packet to come to my device. I want to have it free and open. And beyond that, I mean, beyond all this, there's even going to be digital safety that they're going to be saying. There's going to be something called a Digital Safety Commission. I didn't have time to research this, but just the name alone scares the bejesus out of me. What is this commission going to be responsible for? How it is they're going to be able to levy particular rules, fines, whatever. But you know what? These guys, they got a majority government. How they got it, everybody knows. But now they have control of the House. They have control of the Senate. Committees. This is something that's often overlooked with committees. When you have a majority government in committees, you control what witnesses come out. to be talking about any particular bill. You can veto any witnesses that the opposition want to bring on, and you could only bring your own witnesses on that are in support of the bill that you want to pass. So you essentially control the narrative and controlling the actual passing of the bill. That's scary stuff. This sober second thought, they have the Senate. So, you know what? I look at this. Carney, the man, look, he was talking about social contracts in the past. He has discussed about this. In his words, he was saying, the old order is not coming back. It is not. This is certainly going to be, it's a new way of doing things. And he says, or they're trying to say external threats, they want to get rid of it. They want to push it away. They want to make sure that they are pushing for sovereignty and human rights, as he puts it, so Canadians could be masters of their own house. Do you believe this gives us Canadians the ability to be the masters of our own house? I read between the lines. I look at what's going on. This is a daddy state. That's my opinion.
They've tried this three times, right? They tried it in 21, again in 24. And now, because they have a majority, you know, the guy literally waited like, what, 12 hours from the end of the the end of the by-elections in the three ridings where they swept, by the way, to talk about passing this legislation. And I think the quote was, you know, we have some opportunities here. Well, what opportunities do they have? I think you did a good job summarizing it. I will do a bit of an add-on here to some of the things you said. I think that there's a note that we have to make that the Online Harms Act targets, quote, speech likely to foment detestation or vilification of an individual or group. How many people in Canada are a fan of the current immigration policies? You know, what is that number? Is it 10%? Maybe the sort of lowest resolution, lowest IQ people still think it's a good idea to bring in immigrants at the numbers we've been doing it. What is the number of people who believe in the Kamloops grave story? Is it 10%, 15% of people? It's probably fairly low. What is the number of people who think that Israel or Palestine is something they need to be tweeting about every single day, you know, debating on the internet? That number has got to be 30%, 40% of people who think that's a worthy way to spend their time. And then, of course, Len, something that's near and dear to us and something that Mark Jethvik and I spoke about, I think I'll put that that fireside in the show notes if I can find the link. How many people in our camp, the Bitcoin camp, or even the Austrian economics camp, view monetary policy as unsustainable and damaging and speak about that online? Is that likely to vilify politicians who are governing that policy? I don't know. If I was a politician governing that policy, I might have an opinion on that. And it gives you an opportunity now to do these things. The best part about this is that you can ask for content to be removed without a court order, without a hearing, without anything. And because the platforms are going to be governed by this duty to act, lest they give up, I think, 9% of their global revenue. So Meta, for example, would be, you know, close to $7 or $10 billion in terms of exposure if they didn't comply with one of these things. They're going to take stuff down. That we've already suffered so much in this country at the hands of hapless, clownish politicians, whether it's the news blocking or, you know, as you mentioned there, in the middle of a housing and drug and suicide and MAID crisis, healthcare crisis, sending, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars overseas for gender neutral art in Zambia or whatever they're sending money to. It's not helping Canadians. Youth unemployment's at an all-time high, which, by the way, I do think factors into the rationale around stopping kids from going on social media. Kids at 16 years old are not so uninformed and so unintelligent and so unable to decide for themselves that they can't tell if something is wrong in the world in which they're growing up. And I've said this before, that memory is the mother of revolution. These kids don't know what they missed, and it is imperative to the state to make sure that when kids go online, they don't see crowded malls with no roaming gangs of youths. They don't see movie theaters where people are throwing stuff at each other instead of watching a movie. They don't see roads that are, you know, not crammed sidewalk to sidewalk with drivers. They don't see hundreds of, if not thousands of people praying on street corners in the name of whatever, you know, Stone Age religion they're trying to promote. They don't see youth unemployment at all-time highs. They see a bunch of kids who look like them working at McDonald's, who want to have a brighter future. And by the way, look like them is not a matter of skin color. It's a matter of attitude. It's a matter of goals. It's a matter of intention and intent for them and their families and for the country in which they now reside. What we've done is forced down the throat of Canadians a number of different issues that they're wildly unpopular. And because our politicians, in the most generous interpretation, are being influenced by business groups, in the least generous, are looting the trough on the way to irrelevance and bankruptcy, people are upset, naturally. Every conversation I have now in private, whether it's in a group chat or with the shuttle to and from my mechanic, is about these issues every single time. People are not racist, okay? People are not sexist. People are not bigoted. They are pattern recognizers. They are experiencing difficult situations in their communities, at their jobs, in their schools, and in their families because of these policies. Things are dangerous. Things are expensive. Things are unpalatable broadly all over the world now, but Canada especially has been a petri dish for a lot of these just so, so poorly thought out policies. So what do? We have all these attempts now to govern speech. And I think that it's important also to point out that because of the way the Online Harms Bill is, because of the Age Verification Bill, and when we think about in the past attempts that have been made by the Canadian government and others to upend encryption, we have to note that encryption and identity are squarely at the center of these bills triangulating around it. It's not about harm. It's not about anything else besides identity, encryption, and dissent. These are the things that are at the center of these policies. There's nothing else being considered by our politicians. And why not? If I look at our YouTube channel and other YouTube channels that are, I think, growing in popularity, if I look at our channel then, the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast channel, the subscriber count is up almost 30% year over year, if you can believe it. And I think about what we talk about. We talk about the things that everyone is experiencing, but sometimes have trouble with articulating. We talk about the things that are unpopular to talk about at dinner. But what we've done is allowed for people who feel the same way in an increasingly isolated world to find their tribe. And once you find your tribe, you can organize, you can prepare, and you can push back. These things are unpalatable to governments. And so the other thing I will point to, and I'll flip it back to you, Mr. Miller and his peers have admitted through omission that the policies have not improved. The failures of 21 and 24 with trying to get these things through have not changed. What's changed is the arithmetic. They have their majority. It's clear. The Canadian press, which of course is funded by these same taxpayer coffers as the MPs are, is running with this story. Toronto Star ran a story today about how Mark Carney is the unity prime minister. It's a vote for a Canadian national unity. These recent by-elections and the floor crossers. CBC running with the same sort of nonsense. David Cochrane almost having trouble keeping his hand out of his own pants, talking about the success of the Liberal Party in 2026. These are the people that we trust for information and unbiased passage of opinions. And we're not getting either of those things. And it's allowed the government to push these things. Maybe I'll add one more piece here and then I'll pass it back to you. We talked on this show about Tumblr Ridge about 2 months ago and about how at that time there was an attempt made by the RCMP to quote unquote stop a violent act. That wasn't really an attempt. They went to the house of the shooter and confiscated some weapons, but not all. And let things happen. Do you know what the conspiracy heads are going to think now? They're going to think that that was allowed to happen so that stuff like this could be pushed through. they're going to think that this was allowed to happen so that encryption can be nerfed at the OS level or at the app level or at the level of a backdoor. If you want to keep encouraging this sort of behavior and have people turn away from society and toward groups who have these views, this is how you do it. And I'm really disappointed with this. I will not stand idly by. I plan on being a voice against this. And I hope the people listening to the show will join me in that.
And how, aside from being a voice, because let's be honest, you could say it, but they have the majority government in the House, in the Senate. I get it. And this is what you can do. This is what you probably should do. But do you think it's going to make any difference in the end? I mean, your conscience is going to be clear.
I mean, I'm building ready.ca with Mark. I am saving more and more in Bitcoin as opposed to in fiat, preparing for what I think will probably be a very difficult few years for people who are in the fiat system and at the whims of this sort of nonsense. And I'm organizing my community. You know, I'm going to try and organize my community as well and try and get people together and say, look, this is a dangerous thing. It's funny. I was at Easter dinner, as many people were last weekend or 2 weekends ago now, I suppose. And my generally liberal family all had concerns about these bills, all of them. And to me, that was a shock. But it tells me that people want to talk about these things when the environment and when the mood and when the conversation calls for it, but they're unwilling to take the first step. And so maybe it's our job to say the unpopular thing at the table, to say the unpopular thing at the party, to say the unpopular thing at the office, and see who else wants to join in. Because this is it's unacceptable. This is unacceptable behavior from a modern government in the technological age. It's predictable. It's not surprising. It's not creative, like many policies, unfortunately, but it's unacceptable. Period. End of story.
What I fear is anybody that wants to, or are even right now using VPNs, are they going to be under the radar of the government?
For sure.
Even if they're just not doing anything, just if they want to circumvent geolocation or geolocking for like Napster, what is it?
Well, for anything, IPTVs or even if you want to watch out-of-country YouTube, right? The proposals here would force YouTube to pull down content in Canada. But if you wanted to watch that content, presumably you could use an IP blocker or VPN or something of that nature to do so. The question is how much of that will be allowed and under what risk, you know, what risk will you be assuming doing something like that? Will you be risking a 5-figure fine?
That's the thing.
Is possible in other laws of this nature here and abroad. You know, you can't speak. It's already... I think the most promising thing about this is that it's already basically, you know, political, social, professional suicide to talk about things like the Kamloops graves, for example, anything outside the narrative there. And so the hope that I have is that it's actually still not enough of a deterrent to the truth to lose your job, lose your friends, lose your family, to say the right thing. They find themselves having to go even further to discourage people from sharing opinions that go against the narrative. That's hopeful to me. And I think that people should take some hope in that. There is light in this tunnel. The question is, are we going to pursue it or are we going to take this lying down? I hope that we don't take it lying down.
I don't know if I'm going to do anything aside from just vote with my feet.
Yeah, that's the other option, reality. Of course. Yeah, leave. The thing is that now the only place that won't have this, European Union is doing this. Mm-hmm. Australia is doing it. The only place to go is what, next door? You're going to go to the States?
I don't know if they're going to be totally...
I don't know either. There's right. No guarantees. If the left gets into power in these countries, I've said this before, the right governs as though the left has democratic decorum at their core. The left governs for power, dynasty, consolidation of legal avenues to crush their opponents. This happens everywhere in the world. The left has lost the argument and is going to try and end it for good through whatever means necessary. And we're seeing that now.
Yeah.
You know, this also happens at the same time that Minister Joly gets on TV and says that, you know, the liberals are suddenly winning in places that were impossible a few years ago because they're bringing in hordes of Africans to these places to vote. Like, this is what's being said now. The majority is the mask off moment for these guys. That's all there is to it. And we have to stop pretending that they're going to play by the rules or give us a chance or play fair. It's not the case.
Never done that.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's, but like I say, like, well, I'm kind of at the point in my thinking it's not worth fighting. It's not worth putting up resistance because it's just, I probably just defeatist attitude. I don't know, but it's just, I don't have the time or the energy to waste on that. I think I could be better suited at directing it elsewhere. That's the way I feel. And it's too bad because that's just one less soldier you have that could fight for this type of fight. And I use the term soldier loosely. It's, you know, just somebody that's just...
Well, I mean, we still do our show. We still do the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast. You know, that's a show that carries, you know, the people who watch that show march under the same banner as we do. That's part of the equation. That's good too.
Yeah, the question is for how long before we're pushed out?
Yeah,
that's the question. I don't know.
Yeah, no one knows. No one knows. Anyway, that's it for today. Thanks for watching. Don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter, accessofeasy.com. The podcast is everywhere you get your podcasts. And of course, leave us a like, subscribe to the YouTube channel. More videos like this every week. Until next time, friends, speak freely and take care of yourselves.
Take care.